The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. We have a very special program for you today, one that's kind of bugging everybody in the guts. And what we're talking about is those things that make you bloat and give you all kinds of autoimmune problems and cause, you know, I don't know why this is happening type of syndrome. It's about your health and your wellness and from a place of the internalization of you. But I have a very special guest, someone who knows this inside out, and what we're talking about and what we're going to give you a little better insight is your intestinal tract as it relates to gluten sensitivity. You know, everybody has different sensitivities, but if you have this problem, it can cause you very significant long-term, I don't know why kind of things. My guest today, most of you know and have heard him on an ongoing basis, the brilliant and none other Dr. Scott Lamps. Dr. Scott, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, good afternoon, everybody, or good morning. I keep on falling off of that 11 to 12 o'clock time frame.
It's confusing.
Yep.
Dr. Scott, this is something that we deal with in the practice on an ongoing basis, whether a patient comes in with migraine headaches, or they come in with arthritis, or they come in with low back pain, and we check multiple systems, and this is one that shows up in so many different cases, particularly autoimmune conditions and chronic pain patterns that never seem to go away. We're talking about gluten. We're talking about the protein that can totally rip the gut apart and cause all kinds of immune problems, let alone colitis and irritable bowel and so forth. Let's put a little light on this thing. Seriously, how prevalent is this type of condition? Is it something that we're just getting into the mode of saying, well, I don't want gluten because everybody else doesn't want gluten, or do we have a problem?
Well, you got to break it down. I think there's a couple different things. You got to look at celiac disease, which is really the one end of the spectrum. Maybe about 1% of the population has it. And then you got to look at some other sources that are saying 18 to 20 million people, I think, in our office. Gluten's like an intolerance, a sensitivity, but I think that's a heck of a lot higher, at least the people we see, at least 85% or more in the office. And I think, Tom, you would agree with me on that when we see it and you test it. But I think also, I think part of the talk that we're going to be talking about is not just gluten, but all the things that come along with it. And we'll talk a little bit, maybe touch on today a little bit too, on this radio show with GMOs and glyphosates. Those all play a part, and they're all integrated into how bad this can cause a problem.
Well, a few years back, and we're talking probably quite a few years back now, you know, the gluten protein was hybridized in a way to add more to our food sources. Is that true, and why did they do that?
Well, I think one, productivity, and I think herbicides and things like that, they want to be able to say, hey, we get a better crop going and we get a better quantity of things. I think if you go back to look in 1995, where a lot of this got approved in agricultural, right now we're doing things with gluten and some of the, you know, even some of the spraying of some of the herbicides and some of the Roundup type material that's associated with some of this. In 1995, that got fully placed into our kind of agricultural areas and farmlands. And we've seen from that point a steady increase in numerous, numerous chronic diseases.
Dr. Scott, you know, when you deal with a gluten sensitivity, the thing is that most people don't realize how devastating it can really be to the body. Yep. You know, we all accept that, okay, somebody have gluten intolerance. Well, you know, do they go into anaphylaxis? Do they go into irritable bowel? Do they go into bloating? Do they go into joint space pain? But I guess the underlying question a lot of patients will ask is, why does it cause the problem in the first place? How would you explain that to people?
Well, I think what happens is if you just talk about gluten by itself, there's a tendency to have an effect on our gut lining. So basically what it does is literally kind of make it a leaky gut. It actually permeates. There's a thing called zonulin. You might hear a term of that around, floating around if you're reading through the internet. But basically what happens is it's actually things that bind cells together. And if you don't have the binding the two cells together in our small intestine, and these epithelial cells all clump together, kind of think of them like row houses. And then like one of the row houses get burnt out and there's a space for things to slip through. Then you got these toxic and other materials and get through, and you got this leaky gut that can cause all kinds of havoc throughout the system.
You know, it's interesting. Patients will come in and we test them. We do sensitivity testing to neuromuscle function response mechanisms. And we find that they may be gluten sensitive, and there's several gluten proteins. The gliadin antibody is the one that we're looking for when we do the testing. So obviously we can have a Crohn's pattern. We can have all kinds of things happen to that gut. But it's amazing what happens when you do identify it and you can desensitize it. You take it out of the system, how things begin to respond and repair and turn around. It takes some time. The body just doesn't get over it, you know, in 24 hours and 72 hours. But the difference is almost awestruck.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, Tom, you and I should just do a diet book. And in that diet book, what we should do is say, just get rid of dairy and gluten. And then they'll probably lose a couple of pounds because of the excess water weight that's put onto it. And we'd have a successful book, because that's usually what a lot of these come by, you know, fly by night diet books do. And we could probably make some money off of that just by doing that. And I think a lot of them do that because it's interesting, because it also causes this inflammatory process. The body holds on this excess water. And what we do a lot in the clinic is we'll have people come in and say, just be off this for 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and see what happens. And it's amazing how much things change.
And it changes, you know, overnight. It's incredible. And I don't mean overnight, 24 hours, but you give it 2, 3, 4 days and the body begins to really shift things like crazy. The intestinal tract, what people have to understand is we're talking about the impact that it has globally, you know, within the physiology of the body and how it affects all the membranes and all the preliminary protective mechanisms of the IgA antibodies. But we're talking about a substance that is so impactful that suppresses immunological response in multiple directions. So when you find this, you know, the patient can have all kinds of symptoms, and the symptoms can be varied. Why don't you walk us through a few of those so people really understand that this just isn't about the gut?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is by the time it gets in and permeates through the body, I think, you know, you got joint pain. So now you've got things getting and permeating in the joint. You've got asthma that's affecting the bronchial ability to expand or contract. So now it's contracting down. You get muscle fatigue. There's fibromyalgia associated problems associated with this. Tightness in the throat, tingling and itching, vomiting, diarrhea, which obviously be the abdominal aspects. You can sometimes get a metallic taste in your mouth. And, you know, again, migraine headaches, hyperthyroidism, affecting how, you know, if you think about these things that you go in, like you affect the thyroid, you're now affecting your thermostat of your body. And you're affecting possibly when you get into that, like hair growth, and then goes after different hormones. It's like you said, globally throughout the whole system, a lot of different things have to be taken in consideration. So you got to stop it from the first part of this, remove some of the things. And, you know, like a lot of times when we treat people, you want to work on removing the irritation. You can do all the treatment in the world, but if you keep on putting the irritation, then you're not going to get anywhere.
You know, interesting side story. I have a patient that significant COPD and, you know, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And this person has been all over the place getting help, and we've treated them. And finally, and they're very resistant to going through any dietary pattern changes and so forth. And it took me a while to get them to understand that there was a connection between the intestinal tract and the lungs, and the intestinal tract and the heart. And it took me a lot of data and research to put in front of this man. And I finally convinced him after I showed him how gluten would weaken, if you will, any muscle test that I did with him. And I finally got him to stop. Now, this man was on oxygen. And then once we stopped the gluten and cleaned it up completely and started healing the gut, he was able to not only reduce his oxygen consumption, but he was totally able to get off of it completely over a period of about 6 months. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think the times is when you talk about gluten, we talk about leaky gut. That's just a barrier in the body, and we have four barriers. One of them is your skin barrier. There's another one in the blood-brain barrier, and then there's the lung barrier. And, you know, it's interesting that sometimes when we get some gluten testing, there's 17 varieties. There's 17 different pieces. And if you don't do the right lab test, there's a Cyrex lab test that we sometimes use, that has all the different forms of it. Like you might go to the digestive or GI, and they might look for the gliadin portion or the portion of the gluten that's associated with the digestive tract. But also you go to somebody who's going to a neurologist, and they might be looking at the gluten associated with the brain or blood-brain barrier, but not looking at the stomach. Or not looking at the lungs. Well, you go to a pulmonologist, and they might be looking at the, you know, lung one, but not the GI or the brain one. So it's an interesting thing that you got to look and kind of go in deep how far this stuff goes.
It's incredible that you said 17 different forms of gluten.
Yes.
Most people think we're talking about one little thing and that it's insignificant. But the truth of it is that there's a lot of different elements that are involved in this thing. And if you're not looking at the right one, and traditional testing only shows a very small bandwidth, and they come back, well, it's negative, you don't have a problem. But that's not the truth. And if you don't use some of the methods that we have to evaluate, you're not going to find it. So once you find it, you know, walk us through again. We talked a little bit about the gut and the lungs and the bowel and so forth, but what are other common symptoms that show up as a result of gluten sensitivity?
Well, I mean, some of the big ones is just, you know, bloating itself, and the breakdown that causes irritation in the stomach tract. You were talking about migraine headaches, joint pain. In fact, one that was interesting, I had two people that were volleyball players, and they both actually showed up with stiff hands. And the stiffness in their joints of their hands, and ended up being a gluten type problem associated with it. You can have some coughing, nasal congestion, sneezing, high blood pressure, diabetes could be associated, obesity could be associated, persistent vitamin and mineral deficiencies could be associated with this, neurodegeneration, hormone interference. You know, Tom, there's an interesting, we took a class, there was a company that was out, a seminar a couple of years back. And really, the one that really surprised me, it was Brain on Fire. And the guy was presenting, and he was showing something that looked like ALS. And that's a horrible disease. Lou Gehrig's disease is the common term that's used for it. It actually was ending up having exactly looking like ALS, but actually was a gluten problem. They cleaned up the gluten, and the patterns in the brain disappeared. Not to say that ALS is gluten. I'm not saying that at all. But it just seemed to have the same pattern that particular one. It was a case study. It was just like, what? I couldn't believe it.
Well, a lot of neurodegenerative diseases are a result of some sort of significant sensitivity to something. And it can be anything from a bacterium to a virus to gluten to other things that we find. No toxic reactions with heavy metals, particularly arsenic and aluminum and mercury. We see those very, very commonly. And a lot of things go hand in hand with this. But when we're dealing with a society that eats so many grains, so Nice. Much junk, we're seeing more and more people coming up with gluten responses. And because of the fact, as you said earlier, you know, there's so many of them, they've been modified, you know, to do whatever they're doing. It's a crazy situation. So how do you go about beginning the stages of identification? We're going to get more into that as we go through the program and also treatment process. But how do you do that? And by the way, I want to remind everybody that this Wednesday evening coming up, Dr. Scott Lamp will do our in-house continuing education program on this subject. So if you're having any kind of problem that just doesn't seem to go away, you can't figure it out, this is an opportunity. It may be your gut, it may be gluten, it may be some other things, and he's going to really go through those very in depth. So give our office a call at 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, or simply go online at RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. And register for the class. You scroll down, you'll see the ad for it. It says register here. Hit the button, and we'll make sure that we reserve your seat for you. We're back in office, and we're being very respectful to everybody's levels of trepidation. We have ion filters throughout, so you're going to be very safe. We promise you that. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We have a very interesting program for you today, one that is, you know, kind of mainstream, meaning everybody knows about the topic. It's called gluten sensitivity. And I have a very, very special guest. And when I say special, it's somebody who's got a bandwidth intellectually that kind of blows me away sometimes, Dr. Scott Lamp. Scott, welcome back again. Let's get into the depth of this irritating gut problem. And it irritates the gut. It irritates the joint spaces. It causes headaches. It causes arthritic type of problems. And in many cases, neurological degeneration. Let's walk through that. What's the mechanism? We're saying, okay, this thing has a problem in producing so many potential autoimmune conditions. But what is the proposed mechanism that it's happening by?
Well, I think we talk about leaky gut is one of the things, the zonulins, one of those the processes. There's also a mimicking process that's happening too, that when somebody has like an autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's, the tissue actually looks like, or the glycan, the gluten looks like the thyroid tissue. So if the body is already attacking that and looking at that, then it actually has a way of going after that particular piece. And then think of that as being, okay, well, it's gluten. It's got to be a thyroid situation. We're going to go attack the thyroid. So there's autoimmune implications that way. Again, the leaky gut situation, there's too. But I think the other thing we got to look at too is when you look at the growth of gluten as it happens, and also some of the things that have been added to an adjunct to it, is especially the glyphosates have been causing some increased problems where it shuts down certain pathways in our body that creates the synthesis of certain amino acids. And when we look at that, like amino acids, like, for example, tryptophan, it's amino acid. We always think about like eating too much turkey and that kind of thing, but it's really basically tryptophan goes down a pathway, eventually makes something called serotonin. If I inhibit that pathway, then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I can actually develop serotonin shortages, and then also I can create depression and those kind of things. There's also a tyrosine pathway that actually gets blocked also, and that tyrosine pathway directly makes and has an effect on your thyroid, which, again, metabolism and controlling various aspects of hormone systems there. Glycine gets affected, which actually has a more important part with protein synthesis and things of that nature. So there's a lot of different avenues that's tied in with gluten, just not just gluten itself, but other things. Because of how this is grown and made, attributes to a lot of human ailments.
So I got a question. You're talking about immunological disorders, and we're talking about gluten, and because of its impact on the intestinal tract. What people have to understand is that the intestinal tract is responsible for, depends on the author that you read, anywhere from 70 to 80% of your immune response throughout your entire body.
Exactly.
And you were talking about tyrosine, and tyrosine is split between the fight-flight system, the adrenal glands, and also thyroid function. So you have a double-edged sword. You're going to have other autoimmune conditions like lupus, like Sjogren's, and so forth, that are going to be potentially generated from that type of sensitivity or allergy, if you will, as well as Hashimoto's or even a Graves' pattern with the thyroid. So we're seeing all types of things that are becoming more prevalent in our society because of this this gluten sensitivity, this hybridization, this increased protein that is being put into our food sources and using gluten in virtually everything that you can think of. We have fast foods. We have to bread everything. We have to it's craziness. And, people are getting sick because of modern intervention, if you will.
Right. I think the thing is what's interesting to see is the when you start affecting things farther upstream, we're talking about the long downstream effects. So the upstream parts are being disrupted fairly far upstream, and that causes some major, major irritations. That's where we're talking about the tyrosine and the tryptophan.
You know, it's interesting as we begin to develop other hybridized foods to feed the population, what we're noticing is that the side effects are significant. We're coming up to a break. We'll be right back after some very important information. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We're talking about something that really affects all of our lives to some extent, and we're talking about a substance, if you will, that permeates through the body. If you're sensitive to it, is going to cause all kinds of pain patterns and autoimmune reactions and sensitivities across the board. What are we talking about? We're talking about a substance called gluten. You say, gluten? Gluten what? Isn't gluten glue? Well, something like that, but it's a very significant impact. And my guest today, Dr. Scott Lamps. Dr. Lamp will be your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're right off the National Capital Beltway. We're back in-house giving you the best continuing education programs as we possibly can. So this is your opportunity. Give us a call at 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, or simply go online at rozellcare.com. rozellecare.com, rozellcare.com, and register. We'd love to have you as our guest. We'd love to be able to be a one-on-one director for you. And this is an opportunity for those of you who have been suffering so many different things that you can't figure out where they're coming from. This may have a lot to do with it, so let's pay attention to it. Dr. Scott, welcome back.
Yep. I was just thinking, Tom, too, as they come in for the Wednesday show, we can have some things that we can do, some quick, easy, maybe a little gluten test as for a demonstration process. So there's a way to be able to do that. So
that's easy. So Dr. Scott has offered to do some gluten testing. So show up and he'll walk you through it and you'll have the opportunity to be tested. Hey, that's a great idea. Thanks, Scott.
Yep.
So let's talk about this. You know, when a patient comes in, and do you initially suspect there's a gluten problem? And if you do, what's the thing that makes you suspicious? And or is it something that shows up as part of the examination or a combination? Now, how do you walk through that?
Well, it's usually a combination, but I mean, you always take a history as you start, and you take a look at different things and look at the quality of their skin. You also look at observation plays a big part. Do they feel bloated? Do they have some digestive problems? Have they got some burping, belching, and bloating? Do they have a problem, especially within an hour and a half after they've eaten, have some food, and then check to see what those kind of things are. So, and then you go through that whole list. We talked about migraines and joint pains and things of that nature. And then during the process there, we do the test I'll be doing on people on Wednesday, is do a quick test there to see if they have a reaction. And we do some muscle testing, a specialized AK training that we do that makes us suspicious of a particular problem. And if you have that, then we might even take it farther and do some laboratory tests to confirm some of the things we have. But we have that ability to get a quick, fast answer on, is there a reaction to that particular type of food? Now, it could be other foods too, also on the way, but that's kind of the way I take a look at it. So, you know, you observe, take history, the symptoms kind of lay out to it and shows it a possibility. You can test it, and we have a good feeling right at that particular point what the problem is.
Now, the treatment process with any of these things, if it has to do with gluten or other food substances, gluten's usually not alone as the primary culprit. There's going to be other things that are going to handhold with it all the way through.
Yeah, I think what it could do, it could also set up an irritation. Remember, the gut, the leakiness could also set up the gluten problem, could also set up other foods to be cause a problem.
How often, Scott, do you see a patient that is suffering with, you know, even leg pain, and, they're limping around, they have a sciatica-like problem where it's going down their leg, and, you know, we treat them, we get them better, but it's a struggle to get them to shift their diet. And then, but right. Once they do, Does it make a difference or does it go away? Does, you know, how would you explain that to our audience?
Well, I think the thing is one of the biggest things through our whole process of taking care of people is inflammation. Gluten feeds into that inflammatory element. And you can have multiple sources of inflammation that can play a game to that part of the body. And so we might think, at least on, let's say, a structural point, that maybe somebody's pinching a nerve of some sort, but you add an inflammatory part to that and it accelerates and it expands the irritant and the inflammatory response that's happening on people. And that's why we like to look at structure, chemistry, emotion. Emotional aspects it's nothing to sneeze at. It's something also that plays a part. So you've got to look at the whole body and the whole concept here, because even though you might have pressure on that nerve, maybe there's just enough to take some inflammation off by changing some chemistry. That combination of both is really going to make the pathway for the best interest of the patient.
How often do you see gluten involved in anxiety and depression states?
All the time. And like we talked about, tryptophan, tyrosine, those go right into your neurotransmitters. And if they're affecting farther upstream and they're going down those neurotransmitters having a problems there, and then now you got a problems with depression and anxiety and all the other things that come along with it.
Is there an estimate? Is there a guess of how many people that are actually that sensitive to gluten? I mean, the patient comes in, and there's two questions. You know, how many people actually show these type of reactions? And the second one is this permanent?
Well, I think, and we were talking about before, I'd say about 80, 85%, maybe more from what I'm seeing. And I think the question is how long they've had it and how much degeneration. A lot of time it's reversible. They can work it, but if you've been doing it for years and years and years, again, it's the more chronic something is, it's harder it is to take care of. I think you see the same thing. If somebody's had it for years upon years, it takes a little bit longer, but I think we can actually clear a lot of these things out. I mean, you know, stop stepping into the fire is one thing. So just, you know, get the food and get the irritants that are getting into place. Just walk and step back first and then start working on it. But if you maintain taking the things in while you're trying to treat it, you're going to be like a plane on the highway. It doesn't work well.
You know, I had a patient, we're going back probably 18 years ago. And, you know, even though I've been at this game and I've been in practice 44 years, it never ceases to amaze me the persistence, and I'm being kind instead of using the word stubbornness, that a lot of people have relative to their health, because so many of us identify who we are as a person by what we do in our lives, including our dietary patterns. We don't want to give those things up. This guy came in and he had a very severe bowel problem, inflammatory colitis. He was bleeding and he started under care with us. And it was going to take some time to heal up, but he actually did what I asked him to do for a period of about a week. And he had repetitive bowel movements. I think the man was having about 20 to 25 a day, and he had blood and so forth. And he went in literally a week, 10 days, he went down to about 7, and the blood was virtually gone. But the dietary pattern was very restrictive. And I told him that it was going to take a year, you know, to get things to stabilize and before we could revisit again. And you know what he said to me? He said, no, he says, I'm not going to do this. I said, why? It's working for you. He said, well, my surgeon said, if I take a large section of my bowel out, I won't have any problems at all. And my insurance will pay for it. And I'd rather do that. It flabbergasts me, the mentality of some people, and that they have an opportunity to heal. They have an opportunity to turn something around completely, but they don't want to do it simply because the fact, one, you know, the insurance company says, no, that's not what they do, and it's going to cost the insurance company, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for that type of surgery. But more importantly, and the point here is that his identity was wrapped around the types of food that he was eating.
I think one of the things, don't forget about the aspect of the addictive element of certain types of foods and the inflammatory reaction. You get an adrenal reaction that actually makes you feel like you need to keep on eating that food. Remember the old, sliced potato chips, but you can't just eat one? So there's a game, and there's a biochemistry game that's played to make you keep on eating that food. So you don't, you gotta, that plays a little bit into this too, as a possibility with this particular person. Like, I like, I enjoy that, but also like the identity aspect, but that's an emotional type thing. But also there is a, you know, like an addictive quality sometimes to some of these foods with these inflammatory reactions.
Well, this man happened to be one of my brother, and he was an Italian, and yep. He liked his pasta, and he ate tons and tons of pasta. There's, you know, there's a story, a very dear friend of ours, Dr. David Leaf out of Plymouth, Massachusetts, was telling about one of his patients. This guy came in, and the man ate literally several pounds of pasta every week. And he had, you know, heavy gluten pastas and so forth. And that's what he would eat. And he would just put some stuff on top of it. And, you know, he would eat a half a pound one day and a half a pound on the other and so forth. And he had very severe joint problems and degeneration. And the guy basically refused to do any changes. So Dr. Leaf said, well, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, go out in your backyard and I want you to dig a hole that's 4 foot by 6 foot long. And let me know when it's finished. He says, why do you want me to do with that? Because if you don't change your diet, you're going to need that pretty quickly. That's going to be your resting place. And the truth of it is that the inflammatory reactions that occur because of these things are slow, insidious, and debilitating, and we don't see it coming sometimes. And we end up with such severe problems that we go from pillar to post, that we're on tons of medications which don't do anything but make it worse. And so medically, they treat this thing with, you know, steroids, right. Things like azelfidine and things of that nature. But there's huge side effects to that. And now you got a compounded problem, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting when you're talking about the person. Let's say remove part of the bowel, but, you know, the gluten's not necessarily going to stop there. That's the other thing. It's like, okay, remove that part and let's do this for a couple more years and let's remove a little bit more of it. It's just craziness.
Well, that's the mental state with, you know, we need to have something done yesterday. We want a pill to fix something. We don't want to take the responsibility for changing things. You know, we were the grains of the old day, the old ancient grains aren't the grains that we have today. And, yeah. You know, my grandmother, when she made bread in the old country, she made it from 100% pure semolina, which was yellow.
Right.
And
right.
It was so heavy, it would rock the table if you dropped it on it. But at the end of the day, we're eating soft foods, we're eating manipulated, modified foods. And subsequently, we have all the diseases of modern life. You know, you look around the world today and you come back to the United States and you see people here that are morbidly obese compared to other countries. And it's because of the fast food industry and the glutens that we have. This Wednesday night, you're going to, you were very kind to suggest that you'll test people for gluten and show them the responses. I think they're going to be amazed, you know, the reaction that they're going to have. But let's talk about this again. The one question I had asked you, if you start treating gluten, if you eliminate the gluten sensitivity and somebody begins to heal, can they at some point begin to eat gluten again, or is this genetic?
There is some people that have a genetic predisposition. That's going to be your celiac. So the celiac is going to be a problem genetically. They need to stay away from it. And I think gluten, again, I'd try to have them as a thought process, try to stay away from it for a majority of their life. It's going to start something like that. It's going to be continuously having a problem with them unless they get some very, very clean food. You know, Tom, you were talking about going to Sicily and being able to eat the bread over there, but you can't eat it over here. There's just too much contamination that's happening with that. So I think there's too many other things that are associated with that food. I'd say probably the best bet is eat organically and stay away from the crap.
Let's hold that up for a second. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, my guest in studio today, Dr. Scott Lamb. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Finally, the truth behind the headlines. It's the Vince Colanese Show, weekdays 3 to 6 on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you out west, you know the math. And we like to always thank you and salute our men and women in the military. I don't know how you find us, but you know, we're glad that you do, and hopefully we're helping you and answering your questions when you reach out to us. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp, we're talking about gluten sensitivities, things that rip you up in a lot of different ways, not only your intestinal tract, but giving you headaches and arthritic problems and autoimmune diseases and so forth. Didn't know about that, did you, when it came to gluten? But that's really what happens. This Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter. We're back in-house with our in-house continuing education programs, and he's going to be talking about this very subject and everything that is tied to it. And he graciously said that he would do gluten sensitivity testing. So here's your opportunity to find out if you have some problems, and we do it with through neuromuscle function response testing. So give us a call at 703-698-7117 and register for that class, or simply go online at rozellecare.com. Dr. Scott, welcome back.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the class, and we'll kind of take it from there. What are you going to do this week?
Well, we're going to talk about, we go over the statistics, why gluten's so bad, and kind of review some of the things we talked about here. We're going to talk about GMOs, some of the things also that connect with this, GMO foods, phosphates also, and the problems they bring to the table. We'll do some testing, talk about the things that we'd look to or what kind of testing we do, talk about what the kind of exam would be a little bit about, and talk about possible solutions.
That's amazing. You know, here's an opportunity, really. And we do these for you to garner the information that you need to have so you can take care of your own health. And really, that's what it's all about. It's not putting a pill in you. It's not taking an injection. It's not, you know, you have to learn that there is a harmony. There's a symphony that goes on within your body. And the more you understand it, the more you have the tools to support yourself, your health and wellness index rises exponentially. And we start with things like this, the things that go into your mouth that you least expect that can cause a problem, like gluten. And they, you know, the autoimmune conditions and the pain patterns and the other hormone dysfunctions that come as a result of this. You know, Dr. Scott, there's a lot of people in our world today that suffer from hormonal imbalances. Guys, early on in their 30s, they're suffering from ED. Women are going into very severe perimenopause conditions and so forth. Are any of the things that we're talking about today, particularly the inflammatory reaction caused by grains and particularly gluten, are they culprits in all of this?
Well, I mean, talk about hormone pathways. I mean, you were talking about before about the adrenal pathways being affected. I talked about the other two ingredients. We were talking from tryptophan to tyrosine, but they all go down and affect the adrenals. The adrenals play a major part. It's probably the primary hormone associated with other hormones. They interact very exclusively. There's some things with almost also when you talk about ED. Not getting proper blood flow and stuff like this. This is also associated with arteriosclerosis, which means you're not getting blood flow into different areas and plaquing in different areas, and that could be another situation. So you have it on two places with that particular disease. One is the hormones being affected, and also what's going on with the blood flow. And then also the thyroid. And so multiple systems are being affected. And I think we've seen cancers and sometimes also increase in those things, like especially in breast cancers and stuff of that nature that might be associated with this stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing that there's so much that's interconnected, and we're seeing the modern age of dysfunction and deterioration and disease processes that are showing up. We're seeing a lot of conditions on the rise suddenly. And if anybody has, you know, any common sense, the question has to be why? Why now and not before? Why suddenly do we have things turned around so egregiously?
I think one of the things is, like we talked about, this time frame around 95, 96, where a lot of more things were allowed to be put in our diet. You know, we got over 700 different foods that are, you know, herbicides, fungicides, pesticides, the gluten aspect associated with it. And it all started around this particular area. And then when you see that from that point, things skyrocket. Look at autoimmune disease or autism just skyrocketed from that point. And you got to look at, well, why do they all seem to come down to that time? And it seems right at the time that we were kind of messing with our agricultural stuff. And a lot of that shows direct correlations to a lot of these major diseases.
You had mentioned glycophosphates, and people don't understand what that term really means. It's Roundup.
Yeah.
And it's used to spray on our crops and our grasses and so forth. And we not only ingest them if they're in the foods, because you can't get them out, but we also breathe them in if we spray them on our lawns and so forth. It's quite significant.
Yeah, and you can't wash the stuff off. Like you said, it's embedded into the seed itself. So that's one of the problems that we have with this stuff, is because you think, oh, I'm just going to take the, you know, wash everything off of my vegetables. Not the case. It's embedded in the food.
You know, there's a book that I read some years back that it was about 380 pages. And you can probably read the first 125 pages, which are very impactful, and forget the rest of it. It's called Seeds of Deception. And it talked about the manipulation of the agricultural seed industry and the use of glycophosphates and the increased hybridization producing higher levels of stuff. We're at the end of the program. Unfortunately, we could talk forever. And remember, this Wednesday night, come and see Scott. We do this program for one reason only. We love you all. See you next week. Bye.
Take care.